Bain Pettinger is a hockey agent with CAA. He was formerly manager of hockey ops for Hockey Canada. And again, in an article with Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic, announced or talked about his decision to publicly come out as a gay man. And we're very pleased to be joined by Bain Pettinger. Bain, thank you so much for joining us. As I said, the article was terrific. Frank, I'm really happy for you. I absolutely love the words of support you received and are receiving from a lot of people. I think it's, you know, we got a long ways to go, but I think stuff like this is incrementally shows some of us that we're moving in a direction we need to go. I'm just wondering what the reaction has been from the hockey community since that article, because clearly people knew, you spoke to people, you had support from people, but the wider hockey community in general, what's the reaction been?
Yeah, first of all, guys, thanks for having me. I feel bad for you. It's a beautiful day in here in Toronto and you're stuck inside. But the reaction for me has been, it's been awesome. It's been, you know, definitely overwhelming. The amount of people that have reached out, whether it's through social media or text or calls, I can't even keep up, to be honest. And, you know, that's not the real point of it, though. I know I'm kind of using my platform, but really it's the ones that I've really been impressed with are the kids that have reached out and said, hey, you know what, I'm a student at Ryerson, or I play hockey in Hamilton, and because of what you said and the star power that you brought to it and trying to normalize it, you know, I'm going to come out to my team tomorrow, or I can now, you know, work in the sports world because you broke down some barriers. So that's really what it is for me. It's, you know, obviously I'm going public with it, and you know, it's a huge weight off my shoulders, like I said in the article there. But as far as the feedback, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, talk to, mm-hmm. done a few media things, but mostly just keeping in touch with friends and family and slowly getting back to people. I said in the interview, if I was there are my clients, I'd be fired right now because I'm not getting back to people on time. So I do appreciate everyone.
Ben, you know, I think you hit on something that's pretty important. One of the things that I've always thought when a professional athlete comes out and talks publicly about mental health issues or depression or anxiety, it has a real impact, probably an impact far more than that athlete realizes, because it humanizes something that a lot of people don't want to talk about publicly, and quite frankly, particularly a lot of men don't want to talk about. So I really admire the decision you made to come out. It's a personal thing, and I'm with you. I think you're going to help a ton of people you probably don't even realize. What I want to set up by saying what I just said is it does strike me that the feedback has essentially been near universally positive. And I wonder, one, what you think what do you think that says about hockey, if it says anything at all? I'm not naive to think there's not homophobia in the game, but it does strike me that we're in a different place maybe in 2020 than maybe 2010 or 2000 or 1990. What do you think?
Yeah, I think with any issue, you have to get it on the table. It doesn't matter if it's talking about sexuality, about mental anxiety. You know, you look at what Corey Hirsch has done, and it's just with mental health, it's just conversations and humanizing it. That, you know, someone, you know, they may say in hockey, well, I don't, you know, it doesn't tie to me. I don't know anyone that's gay. Well, now maybe there's, you know, maybe pride nights at the hockey rink mean a little more or something like that. It's really humanizing it and just talking about it so that it isn't the elephant in the room, you know? And I think it's the same with any issue. I think as more that you can get in front of it and talk about it, especially the weird times that we're in right now, you know, with the lockdown and, you know, the city on lockdown, we've got this election that started on Tuesday that still isn't over. You know, there's just, I think people are needing some positivity in their life. And I feel that, you know, had this gone on, you know, on regular times, you know, we'd be halfway, you know, into the start of the regular season here with hockey. It may go to the back burner a bit, but I think people are so hungry for some positivity right now. I think the world right now is just, you know, kind of needed this. And if I can use that to boost some people's day, then hey, that's all I need.
In conversation with CAA hockey agent Bain Pettinger. Bain, was there, obviously this is a intensely personal decision. Was there a conversation, though, you had with somebody, or a moment perhaps where you, whatever inclination you may have had not to do this interview or to not come out publicly, disappeared? Was there a... I'm just wondering if you spoke to someone or just
yeah,
the point at which the decision was made.
Yeah, you know, I think it started during the COVID lockdown. I went back to my parents' place in Victoria for 100-plus days. I thought it was going to be short when I left on March 17th, and I didn't get back till Canada Day. And I think, you know, as everyone did when you went into lockdown, you can't, you know, the busyness of life, and you put down the cell phone and the, you know, the excuses of to bring an issue that's bothering you to the forefront. And I had the time to do that. So I had some great conversations with my family. You know, I'd been out to them for a few years. And I said, guys, I think I really have a platform here to make a change, you know, to use. I can get some star players involved and get them behind it, you know, to draw the attention in. But I think, you know, I can really do some positivity here. So it was really my family that gave me the push. And then when I came back to Toronto in the summer, you know, I sat down with, you know, with Connor and, you know, Tech Sid and a few guys and just kind of floated it by them. And they said, yeah, like, I think the hockey world's ready. And I think I, you know, and I obviously had to ask them to be a part of it. And, you know, for those guys to lend their name, you know, to help my cause is, you know, it's unbelievable. And they, you know, I met with guys like Brian Burke and Brock McGillis and, you know, Scott MacArthur, who's with you guys, and, you know, just floated it by them and said, hey guys, this is my story. What do you think? You know, and I was, I lived for 10 years, kind of half in, half out. And I didn't want to do that anymore. As I said in the article, I was tired of walking into rooms and knowing, you know, wondering who knows, who doesn't. So I just decided to kind of jump both feet in. And obviously the piece with Pierre, you know, kind of goes to that. But I'm the happiest I've ever been. And, you know, there's no looking back now.
Hey, you want to share with us, because there are two of our colleagues, obviously, and Brian Burke and Scott MacArthur, what those conversations were like. Obviously, in Scott's case, it's something he dealt with coming out very publicly. Brian Burke, of course, we know about his son and his work with the LGBTQ community. So those are two guys who sort of have been in the middle of this. It seems like you chose pretty wisely. What were those conversations like?
Yeah, I mean, Brendan, you know, the whole Burke family, Brendan was a big inspiration to me 10 years ago. I remember, you know, it was pretty surreal. I was sitting here last night watching TSN with myself on there. And then, you know, it reminded me of what Brendan Burke, when I was a 21-year-old, watching him and the courage. I was like, wow, you know. And then, obviously, you know, he tragically passed away there. So it kind of faded away. But Patrick has done fantastic work with You Can Play. Brian is a huge advocate. I cold texted him one morning about 2 weeks ago. And I just went, we sat in his backyard and had a few beers. And you know, he was just very kind and said, hey, Bane, the hockey world's ready for this. You know, I'm honored that, you know, Brendan is still, his legacy is still around, but the hockey world is ready for this. And frankly, if someone isn't, that's their problem, you know, and the world is 2020 is ready for this. And as far as Scott, I just sent him a text message. I've never met him. You know, I talked to him on the phone for an hour and a half from the first time that we talked. And he just said, hey, walk me through what it's going to be leading like, you know, leading up to this week. You know, was full of anxiety and nerves. And, you know, I was up yesterday morning at 4 a.m. just refreshing Twitter for the story to come out. But he just, you know, helped me with how to manage it with media and with what I can expect. And, you know, I remember sitting on my couch here in Toronto and seeing Scott's Twitter message. And I was like, wow, that's another, you know, soldier that's ready to fight this stereotype in the game of homophobia in sports. So if he can do it, why can't, you know, I'm sitting here on my couch, and sure enough, a year later, you know, I'm having conversations with him and Brian Burke. And, you know, it just takes that, sometimes those pushes, you know. Brian was like, you're ready for this. Same with Scott. He's like, you're going to be awesome. And it's sometimes just those little reinforcements that, yeah, you know what, you walk out of there, I am ready for this. And it's, you know, it's kind of the kick in the butt that you need sometimes.